You can go to Titus chapter 2. We're going to finish our message about passing the torch. Titus chapter 2. Please stand in honor and respect for the word of God, if you would, please. And just for sake of review, we're just going to go ahead and I'm going to read these 15 verses to you. Just follow along. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So last week we talked about the torch and what that kind of meant and how we wanted to make sure to pass on these things that were very clear and evident to us and in all honesty, very important to us. Things like salvation. Things like the Christian life, our morals, our standards, our convictions, our values. The principles and the doctrines of the Word of God. Things like godliness that we ought to pass on. Not only to our children and to our grandchildren and to our great-grandchildren and such and so forth, but unto others that don't know of these things. We ought to pass the torch. And so we spent quite a bit of time last week talking about these different torches and what they meant and how they were important and what about them was so critical that it really required us to give attention to passing it on to someone else. So tonight, we just want to continue our study. And so first of all, we talked about the torches. Now I want to talk to you about the value of these torches. The value of them. When something is valuable, you want to pass it on, correct? For some people, it might be some sort of heirloom, right? Something has been in the family for hundreds of years or something like that. I have such heirloom, such heirloom. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. I have an heirloom. it's a over 100 year old oak table. That was my great grandmother's. Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. My father-in-law just refinished it for us, this past year. And, you know, that's something special. It's an oak table. It's an old oak table. It's an heirloom. Just recently I shared with you that my mother's parents both have passed away in the last couple of years. There were several items that I was able to get that are very special to me. And there may not be a whole lot of monetary value to them, but there's a lot of sentimental value to them because they're my grandparents. And actually one of them, my mother gave to me was a watch that was my great grandfather's, and it doesn't work, but it's a watch, and who knows, it might be worthless to the world, but it's valuable to me because it has his name on it, inscribed on it in the back. But you know, these things, so you pass on things that are valuable. Maybe you have some sort of wealth or you know, your estate or your property or whatever you're going to pass on to your children. Maybe it's some sort of endowment or trust or whatever, you know, something that's valuable to you. And so you take these valuable things, right? And you take great preparation and great care to make sure they get passed on to someone else, someone that you want them to go to. And so they have some sort of value to them. Well, can I tell you something? That the torch of salvation, the torch of the Christian life, and the torch of biblical principles, these are far more valuable than any material possession we could pass down to the next generation or to other people. Far more valuable. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that these things are more valuable than great riches. They're more valuable. They're more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, right? They're sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. We understand that getting wisdom and getting knowledge, Solomon said, was more important than getting great riches and getting gold and getting silver and keeping them. So how much, if they're more valuable than that, why shouldn't these be the things we pass on to other people rather than money? See a homeless man with a sign? I need food. I need money. Okay? You know what? Just be like the apostles. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. See how hungry he is. Just test him out. Well, I really just wanted a dollar, man. Well, this is more important than a dollar, buddy. This is heaven. You ever try go witness to one of those people? Why not? You'd be like, Mr. Incredible, I got time. Okay. Maybe I have children. I watch cartoons. Okay. I can't help it. now, you know, you have time to pass it. Isn't it worth passing on? You know, these little gospel tracts we have, they may only cost a few cents a piece to print them. But they're much more valuable than that. Much more valuable than that. The value of the torch. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's illustrate the value of the torch here a little bit. We know that this proverb is written. And Solomon says, we know that his son is the one that is to receive this instruction. Over and over again, you hear Solomon say, my son, my son, my son. Okay? Over and over again. So here we go. We have this here. We see in verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know, what do you think of when you think of ornaments and chains? You think of things that people would wear that they are proud of, right? That they want to show off. Okay? Well, Solomon says that these things are those things that are valuable, that are worth kind of showing off, if you will, to have them, to keep them. They are valuable. They're an ornament of grace. Ornaments are valuable. Okay, you all, we just got off of Christmas, right? One of the things that my grandmother did for me is, well, not just me, but all of my cousins and even my to my children, she'd give us a Christmas ornament every year. When I was in high school, she started me off on the classic American car collection from Hallmark. I've got all of them. The first one's worth over $400. An ornament. Christmas ornament. Pretty cool, huh?
It's valuable, but it's I would never sell it. My grandmother gave it to me. But you know, ornaments are something you display. So years ago, instead of just putting them on the Christmas tree once a year, my father-in-law built me a couple of cases, and I display them all year round because they're ornaments. They're really cool. They're special to me. How special is Jesus to you? How special is salvation to you? How special is the Christian life to you? How special is doctrine and godliness and the things of the principles of the Word of God? Do you display them? Because they're valuable. Okay? And we ought to display them. They're an ornament to us. They're valuable. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Ornaments are valuable. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul likened these things to something else that is considered valuable. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Crown's valuable? Yeah? Yeah. How many of you want to be the Christian that's standing before Jesus Christ without one of these to give back to him? Anybody? Ha! No way! You understand? Yeah. We're going to cast these things back at his feet. They're for him. He's going to give them to us, but we're going to give them right back. A crown of righteousness. Isn't righteousness and living a righteous and pure and holy life a biblical principle? Something we should do? Isn't it the call of God on our lives as Christians? Part of the Christian life? Why some of the people in Antioch were called Christians first in Antioch? Because of the life they lived. They lived for Jesus Christ. They were like Jesus. Paul said, I've done this. I lived this. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I did these things. And this is something I'm going to pass down. Why was he telling Timothy all of this? Do you want Timothy to have the same result in his life? He was his son in the faith. He wanted to pass down this crown of righteousness because it was valuable. He said, I'm not the only one that's going to get this thing. He said, unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, Timothy, I want you to have one too. And I want your followers to have one. And I want their followers to have it. And I want their people to have it. And I want the next people to have it. And I want all believers to have this opportunity. I want to pass it down from generation to generation, from Christian to Christian. Because it's valuable. These torches have a value. They have a value to the people that have them, and they have a value to the people that they pass them to. You know, do you think that Solomon, when he wrote to Rehoboam, his son, was concerned with gathering more wealth? No. He was already the wealthiest person in history. And some people even think that no one even today could even come close to what Solomon had. He had everything. He had it all. What did he want more than anything to pass down to his son? These torches. These torches. He wanted his son to hear these words and heed them. Now, just a quick side note, did he succeed? Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, no. Rehoboam decided to go a different direction and to his demise. And, you know, I'm sure Solomon, if he were to have been alive during that time, he would have just probably wept. And couldn't believe all that he had tried to invest in to his son. But he had a purpose. He wanted to pass down these things to his son. Go to 1 John chapter 5. So we've looked at some ornaments. We've looked at a crown here. Here's something else that's valuable. How many of you have some sort of document or something, maybe a letter that someone wrote to you or something that someone gave to you that is precious to you, some sort of writing or some sort of manuscript or something like that? Look here in 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 10. It says here that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You go over to Revelation and you see that those that are going to be entering heaven, where is their name? It's in the book. It's in the book. It's recorded. We have a record. Can I tell you something? If you can't pass anything else on to your kids, pass this on. Pass this on. You know, I've got a few old Bibles that belong to relatives of mine from the past. You know, I cherish them not just because they're books of my ancestors, but that my ancestors had old King James Bibles that now I now get to look through and read through. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to pass on. Something like the Word of God is more valuable than anything. And the record of salvation that we have, and to watch someone, when you open up a gospel track or you open up the Word of God and you share with them Jesus Christ, and they look at you and they say, "What must I do to be saved?" And you share with them how to accept Christ, and they pray and they ask Jesus Christ to save them. Now their name is in that book too. And you just pass that torch on to them. It's a record, and it's valuable. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Talking about Solomon again. Proverbs 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon continues his words of wisdom to his son. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You know, as I talk to older folks, I'll ask them, "How you doing today? You know, or how's it going? Did you have a good week? "Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still on this side of the grass. You know, they're excited about one more day. Aren't you excited about one more day? Isn't time a valuable commodity? It is. It is a valuable commodity. It is something valuable. He says here, if you're going to hold up the torch of salvation and hold up the torch of Christian principles and hold up the torch of the Word of God, you're going to have length of days and long life. How many of you like to go through a week of strife and discontentment and misery and murmuring and complaining? That's you. You say, "Sign me up. I want 10 cups of that." No? Oh, how about you? Would you like to have some peace and quiet and tranquility and sunshine? And or as Dr. Gomez always used to say, peace, love, joy, greasy hair, right? You know, just, he's an old Cajun hippie from 70s, you know. Of course, saved by grace and such and so forth. But in Bible college, he used to say that all the time. But, you know, wouldn't that be nice? Have a little peace from time to time? Well, that's what passing this torch on provides for us. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. Hey, listen to this. Not only in the sight of God, but man. In the sight of God and man. Remember in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, right? And in favor with God and man. How did he do that? Holding up the torch. And even passing on the torch to others. This is what it provides for us. That's the value of the torch. Hey, don't let the next generation think that this is just a bunch of hocus pocus, that this is a bunch of worthless pages, that this Christian life, they can take it or leave it, is not worth anything, because it is. It is valuable. It is worth passing on. And we've got to make sure that they understand the value of it. When the psalmist sings, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, he meant it. I'll tell you the story behind that hymn one day, perhaps. But, oh my goodness, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, he said, this world can afford today. Anything. I told you what Dr. Smith said. If he were only able to have two books, give him a Bible and a hymn book and he'll be happy. That's all he needs. That's all we need. But do the others around us understand that? We've got to really show them the value of these things. Think about this. I love this. I play this game sometimes with myself, especially when I'm debating people about the English language. You know what? Why did they? You ever ask somebody why this device on my wrist is called a watch? Watch. This is watch. I watch. This is a wrist clock. Not a watch. The clock of my wrist, right? Why is it a watch? Who decided that? Right? I want to talk to them. Okay? Now, think about this. Who decided that this was valuable? Who? I mean, it's a metal. Why is this metal as valuable as this? Right? These little things in here, they're rocks. Why aren't those rocks in a parking lot valuable? Like, who decided this stuff? I mean, we know who decided this was valuable. They just print it like it's water. I mean, why is this valuable? I mean, why isn't this valuable? We got lots of these. We don't have very many of these. I think these should be valuable. Okay? All in favor? Okay. Now, I mean, who decided this stuff? You understand? Okay. So if some random person can decide that this is valuable, or that gold is valuable, or diamonds are valuable, or whatever is valuable, why can't I decide that this is valuable? Why can't I pass it on to my kids that this is valuable? Or living a holy, pure, clean life is valuable. Or telling somebody about Jesus Christ is more valuable than anything else. Why not? Why can't I set these standards of value according to what God says is valuable? Why do these other people get to make up the rules? And they, you know what they're going to tell your children? That religion stuff's not valuable. Go get a job. Get a real career. Oh, go be a missionary over in Africa. No, that's not valuable. Go be a dentist. Go be a lawyer. Go be a CEO of a tech company. And earn millions of dollars and have thousands of homes and cars and properties and stocks and bonds and... That's valuable. Why? Why do they get to decide all of that? Now, I'm telling you today, these things are more valuable than that. So now what do? How do we pass these things on? You all know Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Tell them over and over again. Tell them that it's valuable. Show them that it's valuable. You know, training is not just telling a kid what to do. It's showing a kid what to do. And it's showing a kid what to do by what you do. You know, I love it. All of our little ones, you know how little ones, they get to that point where they mimic you? And they repeat everything you say, or they do things. And even the little ones, Phoenix is probably about this age, where you if you look at them with a funny look, they'll look at you with the same look, right? Or if you make a noise like, rawr, rawr, then they'll go rawr, 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 back, you know? They do this stuff, and it's fun. It's only fun unless you're like me sometimes. I don't know if any of you are like me, where you like to vent your displeasure with how other people drive. They can't hear you, but it makes me feel better, you know. But you kind of think about it when you say something like, "Oh, you stupid idiot," and then you hear back, "Oh, you stupid idiot." Okay, then you're like, "Oh, I should be careful what I say," because now they're repeating what I just said. You know, we don't want to do that. We got to be careful with that. But children repeat; they mimic things, right? That's why I feel sorry for my children of what they'll become when they're grown. All right? So you understand that training is not just, "Now, son, you do this, and this is what I told you to do. Now, okay." No. It's more than that. Show them the importance and the value of the torch of salvation. Show them the importance of living a Christian life that's right and pure and holy and true and clean. Show them the value of biblical principles. How God says be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because it will. It will happen that way. That God says, "Hey, give and it shall be given unto you." Show them what God has done. Listen, folks, I've been to the store many times and God has allowed me to purchase something at a fraction of the price. I don't come home and say, "Hey, look what Dad found." No, I'd say, "Look what our God gave us." Because I want to show to the generation to come the mighty works of our God. I'm going to show them that He's mighty. Remind them that He is our provider. He is our everything. We got to show them. We've got to train them up. In Deuteronomy 6, it says this, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So it's got to start where? With us. It's got to start with us. "And thou shalt teach them diligently." You know why I'm after my kids all the time? Because the Bible tells me to. I got to be diligent about it. Got to be diligent about it. I got to keep up with them. "Diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." Talk about God. Talk about the torch of salvation. Talk about the torch of Christian principles and biblical principles and the Christian life. "And when thou walkest by the way," when you're out and about, "and when thou liest down," talk about them in your sleep, "and when thou risest up." What do we talk about most in the time of a day? How about I borrow a piece of scripture? "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Or, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So what you talk about most isn't God and these things, your heart might be in the wrong place. He said that these things are supposed to be in thine heart, "and shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know, that's a good idea. I think when we sell our house and move here, this area, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go write them on the posts of the house. Find somebody that's a good calligrapher and get it done right. Or just get my knife out and just scratch them in there. You know? Why not? valuable, worth something. And just saying, we got to pass them on. Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Don't take them away just because they're old-fashioned. Or that's how it used to be done, but it's not done that way now. Or those principles don't work in today's society. Things have changed. Maybe for you, but not for me and my God. I am the Lord. I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just telling you. They're ancient landmarks. These are things that are the way they are. They are more valuable. They are important. They do need to be passed on. Remember what Joshua said in chapter 4, verses 5 through 7? And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of this of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, the waters were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Hey, your kids are going to ask you. In some way, shape, or form, your children are going to look to you as to what's valuable in life. And you get to tell them. See this old book here? This is what life's all about. This is what's valuable. Follow this book. You'll have the right kind of life. And God will be pleased with you. Oh, your employer probably hates you. You might be poor, penniless, not have anything. But you'll have favor with God. You'll have treasure laid up in heaven. Hey, don't make it sound sour. It's not a bad thing. Sometimes the poorest people are the happiest people. You know what wealth brings? Misery. It does. You know some of the most depressed people in this world are rich people. They are. You know some of the most paranoid people in this world? Rich people. Why? They're afraid somebody's going to take all what they got. They're always worried about it. I mean, millionaires worried about becoming billionaires. Billionaires worried about becoming trillionaires. You know, they're just worried about it. Now, we accomplish this by following the example back in Titus chapter 2. Go there really quick, and we'll be done. I remembered where Titus was, so that's good for me. So Paul told Titus to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Pass them on to these people. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. You see that? So we have here all these things that he talks about. He lists them out. These are the Christian life. These are the biblical principles. But look at verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We're the pattern. If we believe this, call it valuable, pass it on to the next one, so that they know it's valuable, and pass it on to the next one. What is that? It's a pattern. It's a pattern. That's how we accomplish this task. I myself did not come up with this. Someone passed it to me. And those who passed it to me did not come up with this on their own. Someone passed it to them. And someone passed it to you. And you need to pass it to someone else. That's what happens. This is the pattern. John 13, 15 says, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." Who is our example? Jesus Christ. He's the example. Was he concerned with people having the torch of salvation? Having the torch of the Christian life? Having the torch of biblical principles? Yes, yes, and yes. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." An example. All in all, if we drop the torch, or don't make sure that it makes it into the hands of the next generation, we will have failed in our duty as a Christian. You say, "Oh, it'll go on." Yeah, probably will. But you'll be the one standing in front of your Savior without a crown. You'll be the one where the wood, the hay, the stubble will be burned up. It'll be counted for a loss for you. There won't be many gold, silver, and precious stones left behind. I don't want that. Let the example that Christ left with us in his passing of the torch to his apostles should be enough for us to follow and pass on to the next generation of believers. It's got to be enough. Psalm 78, just fly over there really fast. Just a warning. I don't have time to get into this. I could spend a whole other message preaching about this, and I may. Just look at verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgat his works and his wonders that he had showed them. How sad. How sad. I mean, they had the torch right in their grasp, and they forgot about it. They left it behind. And you can read Psalm 70. I'll encourage you to. It is an eye-opener. It goes on and on about how horrible life was for these people because of how they treated the torch that was to be passed to them and them to pass on to others. And can I say, I don't want the same fate to come to me or to anyone else that I have a chance to influence for Christ. Whether it be family or friends or perfect strangers, I'm going to pass on that torch. Pass on the torch.